Hello.
Joe, my friend.
How's it going?
Good.
Tell me, what are we talking about today?
Listen, there's something that has been bugging me for a while.
Oh, is it that person who keeps stealing your lunch at work?
Besides that person.
Stop taking Paolo's lunch. What is it, Paolo? What's keeping you up at night?
Why is it so hard for our business partners to understand and value the role of research?
Oh, wow. Can of worms you're opening. And I'm curious, what have you worked out so far?
I think we are constrained by the way how we think about research, by the lenses that we use when we see the role of research, how we communicate about our roles. I think these are really deep constraints that we have.
But why? Why are we constrained?
I think, you know, we use, let me take a step back.
Okay.
We use this, tripartite division to talk about research. We talk about expertise in terms of quantitative expert, qualitative expert, and then, because we lack any fantasy, a mix, someone who is in between the quant and the qual. I think this tripartite vision is extremely limiting and constraining at this point. And it's bringing research and the value of research down.
Interesting. So I'm going to need you to connect that for me, Paolo. So you're saying that it's hard for business leaders to understand our value, and that's because we've constrained ourselves with these tags, right? Qual, quant, mixed. So make that connection for me.
Absolutely. Let me say one thing. I mean, first of all, these tripartite division has a historical reason to exist. It's not just out of thin air of some, you know, whatever leaders that invented this. No, this is the natural historical progression of a field, research and UXR in particular, and the way how it developed from, you know, the 80s, 90s, 2000, etc. You know, starting with researchers coming from the tradition of communication and usability, using mostly qualitative methodologies, developing framing about usabilities, obviously, interviewing, observations, small scale type of research. And then you have, in the early 2000s, you have this massive influx of PhDs entering UXR from the social sciences, coming from a complete different background, not knowing what usability even is or was, and bringing with them a set of tools that were, you know, more quantitative in large part. And obviously, there's also qualitative researchers coming from that batch, but in general. So this has historical reason. It's an evolution. But what has been missing is, like, reflecting upon this, you know, 30 years in, and understanding that just using the same tripartite division because that's how things evolve, that is now constraining, because we are not able to articulate a language that can show the value of research. And business leaders, when they look at this history, they think of us as a measurement functions. We are, if we use the tripartite division, a function that measure things. Product get made, things get launched, and then after all of that, research comes and measure things. Sentiments, behavior, usability. We are a measurement function because we are presenting ourselves as experts in what? In measurement. Quantity measurements. Quality measurement. Or mixed measurement. That means, almost by definition, that we don't have a business impact. It's impossible to articulate a business impact if you see yourself as a measurement function.
Okay, so Paul, let's say I go along with you on this and I say, okay, maybe the ways we have thought about ourselves as a profession are limiting. What can really drive home that point? Like, where do we get pain? Where do we have problems because we are attached to this old constraints?
There are three problems. The first problem is that we don't have a language to talk about our impact you know, and many of our listeners here are familiar with this problem, come the performance review at the end of the year. And, you know directly how hard it is to connect what you did. You ran a survey, you did interviews, you did usability studies, to the business outcome that your team achieved. You know perfectly how difficult this is without writing sentences that appear grandiose. So number one, we don't have a language that connects our what we do to the business outcome.
I mean, that's pretty much what a lot of people have been searching for right now in our industry. It's how do we bridge that gap? And essentially, one of the things you're saying is the reason why it's so hard for us to bridge that gap is because of the structure we have in place, the way we think of ourselves, the way we think of the value. That is preventing us from doing this very fundamental thing.
100%. It is more how we think of ourselves and how our leadership sometimes wants us to think about ourselves that is preventing us from articulating our role in a broader way and actually more realistic way. So I said, number one, we have no language to connect to business outcome.
What's number two?
Number two is that if we see ourselves only as a measurement function or mainly as a measurement function, then we are really replaceable.
Why?
We are replaceable because maybe there will be other technology that comes along that is cheaper and faster than that can, you know, run surveys for the product, that can do interviews because, you know, it's become very cheap to run language models that are able to do that. If we are only a measurement or mainly a measurement function, we are really replaceable.
I just met with a startup founder this week, and what they were trying to pitch me on was basically replace researcher, or if you don't have a researcher, you can't afford a researcher, with this AI, and this AI will do measurement for you. They'll collect survey responses for you faster. That's the heart, I think, of where a lot of anxiety around AI and our field exists.
Absolutely. Imagine now, the LLM models are really good. So, you know, you can have a model that interacts with a consumer and asks questions and, you know, even qualitatively doing qualitative interviews. If we see ourselves as measurements function, we are at risk of being replaced. That's the second reason. The third reason, okay, we want to see ourselves as a measurement function, as a methods function. We don't even do that. And this is not what our business partners are asking us to do. We, from my limited knowledge of the industry, as researchers, we don't actually invent new methods. We're sophisticated students of methods that have been invented somewhere else, mostly in academia, sometimes in other fields as well. And we bring them and apply them to our needs. But we are not method experts necessarily. We are not inventing new things here. And it's not needed either. So that's the third reason. We may be creating a knowledge, if we do, that is not what is needed.
Man, that really opens my eyes because you're right. Even if we segment ourselves around qual, quant, mixed, most of the stuff we're doing is not to invent a new method. And I can tell you the times that I have invented a new method at work or, you know, modified a method in order to do something else. My partners, they don't care. So other roles like designers, product managers, engineers, they don't care about the new method that I used or how I changed it in order to get some data. They want an answer to a very real problem that they're dealing with. So you've convinced me. So maybe this framework that we've been using, it's run its course. Maybe we really need to be thinking about ourselves in a different way than as a qual or a quant or a mixed researcher. But what's the alternative? Like, what else? How else would we be thinking about ourselves in your viewpoint?
I think we can use a framework that is around domains. So not only or mainly about how we do things, but more and mostly about what is that we are doing. And an example of domain could be something related, let's say, trust, something that I'm familiar with from my previous work. That's a domain. Then you can learn about that through different methods, different ways, collecting different type of evidence. That's an example of a domain. But what do you think, Joe? I know you've been thinking about this as well.
So yeah, I think when I think of UX research, I think a lot about the people that we work with who often consume our research and what they do with it. And to me, a researcher working in industry is there to solve problems, product team problems or business problems, for example. I tend to think about, I guess what you would call domains, I tend to think about maybe we should structure ourselves around what we're trying to actually accomplish. So for example, when I was on an incubation team, these were all new bets or new opportunities that we were going after. These are very early concepts. And the type of research that you do for that is very different from a very mature product that's been around for 10 years. For those kind of mature product examples, you're probably doing tons of usability. There's marginal, small, incremental improvements that are huge for the company because they have a huge user base. And you know what the problem is. You know that it serves a need. But when you're doing incubation research, you don't know that an idea serves a user need. You need very different tool sets. You need to be using things and crafting that approach very differently than for a mature product. And so to me, I think a lot about a product lifecycle, and I think that can mirror how research splits up. So for example, you could have researchers who are focused just on incubation ideas, new bets ideas, and one of the nice benefits is that if they're not embedded in a product team, they will actually see incubation bets from across different areas. They will know how to compare if this particular product is doing better than another because they can actually say, well, we were working last month on helping with this incubation idea, and this is how it's performing relative to that other one. So that's like the first area. The second area would be growth. So once you've proven, once you have product market fit and you've been able to prove that you have value there, everybody wants the hockey stick growth. But figuring out how to get hockey stick growth, it's very different methods, again, from the more mature product that is actually just trying to figure out how it innovates in the future.
Joe, you mentioned it's also different expertise.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. You need to understand users in a different fashion. You need to understand and use different methods in order to do that. But I think ultimately, that's a much better way to think about the work that we're doing. Because you can evaluate people that way. Like you can evaluate, okay, out of all the researchers who are working on incubation new bets, which one is driving better business outcomes? And that's very different from today if you're saying, okay, let's look at all the qual researchers. Which ones have more impact? Well, they're working on completely different products and completely different product life cycles.
Besides, once you become a domain expert, let's say in growth, as you pointed out as an example, then you will have insights. You will be able to say, if we do X, users will respond with Y with these probabilities. You will have that expertise that is built. And that is what is missing. Because once you have that expertise, then product leadership wants to talk to you. Not only because they want you to measure, but because they want to know the insights that you have.
I couldn't have said that better, Paulo. Yes. That's what we need. That's what will make us valuable, especially to business leaders.
Actually, the best researchers that I have had in my team already did all of that.
Yes. Yeah. In some ways, this is me just observing, I think, what certain people are doing and the roles they've crafted out for themselves. And I think this could be a good organizing principle as well.
Yes, absolutely. Okay, Joe, you already mentioned incubation as a domain, growth. Do you have other domains you're thinking of?
Yeah, I have two more. The third one is retention and churn. So if you've ever worked on a team and you're trying to figure out, well, why are people churning out of the system and they're not coming back and why and what we need to do, I think that could be its whole domain. You could just build up expertise in. And the fourth one I was alluding to in contrast earlier, which is what I like to call evolutionary improvements, but it's like taking products that are more mature, that have been out a while, improving the user experience for those. That's going to be a lot of things like usability testing, figuring out those incremental changes to make a product better. Those are the four domains, I think.
You know what I like about this, Joe, is they're domains, but they're very specific to product phases and to the life cycle of the product. I think that's really key here, because we are not suggesting domain of experts in a more academic fashion. We are actually suggesting domains of experts that are really related to the product and the life cycle of that. I wonder if there are specific domains that are related to the particular characteristics of a market. Let me give you an example. If you are in a peer-to-peer market, companies like Airbnb or Lyft, Uber, etc., they're operating in that market. Is there some specific domain product related in the way that we are articulating here that are related to that market versus if you are in a social media market versus you are in a media market?
Or fintech, for example.
Or fintech, exactly. So maybe there are specific aspects of this domain expertise that are specific, which to me would be a proof of our points that there is a need for these domain experts to become the new way how we think about research and UXR.
Okay, Paulo. So at the beginning of the episode, you mentioned how we have this problem. And the problem is that because we're using this way of thinking of ourselves, qual quant mixed researchers, this fundamentally prevents us from connecting with business leaders and especially for them to see what our value is. So from what we've discussed so far about domains, does this seem like a promising path? Does this seem like something that could actually bridge that gap and help?
Absolutely. If we are able to articulate our role in terms of domain expertise and domain with respect to product life cycles, then clearly the business leaders will want to talk to a researcher or at least use the research insights for that particular business outcome that she's driving. So I think that addresses all the three problems that I mentioned before. There's no way you can become a domain expert and have no business impact.
Okay, well, these are just some of our early ideas on what domains might be useful. And I think we would love to hear from you, whether you have actually worked in organizations that have organized around one of these domains, or even if you have ideas of missing domains as well. And so why don't you go ahead and message us on LinkedIn. You can reach out to Joe Gonzalez or
Paolo Parigi
and let us know what you think. Until next time we see you guys take care and we'll chat soon.
Fantastic. Looking forward to your comments.
See ya.
See ya.